Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Sindera Mendes, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, R standing for resilience. Please be advised this is a podcasting session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts in life. So tonight's topic is going to be about relationships versus partnerships. Okay, so I often wonder, like, what is more valuable, having a secure relationship or stable partnership with someone and or groups of people? I, on the other hand, determined that with enough thought and contemplation, I determined that having a stable partnership with someone is most important. Why? In my opinion, I think a partnership gives connections a new spin on the life and purpose of two people coming together in union or in partnership. On the contrary, in my opinion, secure relationships is all about emotional support and fulfillment centered on the person's likes, dislikes, agreements, and disagreements, and the list can go on. However, it's more of a condition, chemistry, and compatibility factor. And last thing, going back to partnership has more of a power, passion, and purpose connection between two people or more. It's more of a logical aspect than it is an emotional support factor. And then when I go back to contemplating on the power, passion, and purpose factor, power has a lot to do with two people or more being influential, you know, amongst themselves, which is internally and externally onto other people as well. For example, a power couple who relate to each other strongly, they, you know, get along with each other, and the things that they have to offer to themselves and to the world is so powerful. So this is what makes it influential. And then when you go back to the drive that both parties have and wanting to achieve that goal with so much passion, you know, it's all about the motivation factor as far as both parties feeling self-motivated and things of that sort. And then the passion, which stimulates, the purpose, which stimulates the passion, is the vision. Always keeping your eyes on the prize to achieve the goal. And that's a lot of times, you know, that's what keeps the spark in a partnership between two people, is the purpose factor. Okay, and then going back to elaborate on the relationship factor, is conditioned, is based off chemistry, compatibility factor, and I feel like some of those things could be fleeting at times, especially when it comes down to the development of love. Even in the development of love, will have a condition, and sometimes that's not always true. Because, you know, the love may not be true is what I mean. And sometimes what I mean by that is that, you know, instead of a person being able to love you unconditionally, they will love you on based off conditions of the relationship. And sometimes it's more predicated on how that person make you feel versus, you know, how you are growing with that person, you know, on a mental, emotional, and physical level. You know, those aspects are what's most important, but because there's conditions, you know, there's limitations, okay? There's no open ground for mutual understanding and agreement, or to be able to expound and extend on your, you know, relationship that you have with the person. So 9 times out of 10, it may get stuck in a cycle that's based off a series of conditions. And a lot of times that can cause a person to feel stifled and stuck, you know, and that's not good. That's not healthy, in my opinion. However, conditions can also be conducive for a person in a relationship, because that's what can help them to keep them going and pushing. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes those relationships can be codependent. But if those two people can learn how to be interdependent with those conditions that they have, you know, with one another, then it could be successful. However, when the relationship is more or less on a condition aspect and it's more codependent, sometimes the way the two people may relate with each other may not always be healthy. Sometimes, you know, one person can be enabling another. One person could be harboring resentment inside, and that's not healthy because they don't know how to articulate or communicate with their partner, or I would say the person who they are in relationship with, you know, significant other. You know, sometimes those things can happen. So then when you think about the chemistry factor is when you in that infatuation stage and you like in awe of the person, you love their energy, you love how they look, you love how they make you feel. And usually this is like the honeymoon phase that you're going through with the person. But then when you realize that you have to do real things with the person, you have to face real obstacles and, you know, challenges with the person, it may not always be that attractive, because then you learn different things about yourself, you know, and you learn that sometimes there may be a mental chemical imbalance with yourself, and that can alter the chemistry that you have with the person and how you relate to them. And sometimes when people don't deal with their mental imbalances, or, you know, mental chemical imbalances, sometimes it can tarnish a relationship, you know, and cause a lot of turmoil. But the chemistry is meant to cause a spark, you know, to cause something that's invigorating for both people or more, you know. And then the compatibility factor is just basically determines how you both can get along with each other, you know, how you both handle things together, how you handle challenges together. And this is what keep the relationship tight knitting, based off of how you're able to, you know, get along with each other. Some people go along to get along with the person, go along with the flow, but it's not something that intrinsically makes them feel fulfilled inside. It's just because they're either fulfilling a role or fulfilling a responsibility that they have to do to that relationship, and that's just about it, you know. So when we get down to relationships, okay, relationships is basically about the way in which two people or more have regards for each other and how they behave towards each other. Those are the factors of a relationship. And a lot of times, relationships consist of, on a personal, it can be two people having an agreement to have an open relationship, or two people having a friends with benefit, or someone who just in a monogamous relationship where it's exclusive. And, you know, these people, you know, carry on a relationship based off of that paradigm. And a lot of times it can also be family oriented, where you're dealing with mothers, fathers, uncles, aunts, children, siblings, and things of that sort, that type of relationship dynamic. And then you can have a business relationship where it's more categorized in the aspect of, you know, an employee relationship, coworker relationship, you know, employee-employer relationship, you know, those things, you know. So it varies based off of the category and classifications when it comes down to relationships. However, this topic is based off of more of a monogamous and mutual relationship between two people, okay? And a lot of times what you can recognize in a relationship when you are going through that development stage is courtship. So according to Webster Dictionary, that courtship basically means the activities that occur when people are developing a romantic relationship that could lead to marriage, or the period of time when such activities occur between two people or more. So sometimes, not more, because it's more monogamous. So excuse me on that. But courtship has a lot to do with two people agreeing to go on a series of dates to collect data on a person. Usually it's more basic. It's more geared towards the person's occupation, you know, their hobbies, you know, small little things that they dislike and like, certain subjects that interest both parties. You know, they talk about, sometimes it could be politics, or some people stay away from politics, religion, you know, things of that sort. But, you know, this is what stimulates, you know, the conversation on dates and things of that sort. When you're collecting data on a person, you know, when you go out, you know, to eat at a nice restaurant, you know, y'all both, you know, in communication. Communication is plays a big part in how two people are going to relate to each other, and the patient factor, you know, and getting to know each other and things of that sort. However, I think another aspect of dating is when two people are engaging in an activity such as horseback riding, going bowling, going to the theater. Sometimes it could be going to a play in itself, or going to the actual movies. Horseback riding, based off how, you know, both parties, you know, engage in the activity, you know, it's more of a following the person's actions to understand what they like and dislike, and how y'all both, you know, enjoy the activity that y'all both are doing. You know, sometimes going on a series of dates can lead to that. Sometimes you start out going on a dinner date, then, you know, engaging in activities, and then, you know, just basically scheduling vacations together and things of that sort, based off of how the relationship progressed during the courtship. Okay, and a lot of times when you get to the vacation stage, it basically hits the stage of romantic gestures. You know, when you are fond of the person, you are attracted to them, you can relate to them. You know, you might have like a little cliche, superficial list of, you know, what you're attracted to. And sometimes it could just be generally, you know, the type of energy, the person that you're attracted to. And they may, you know, they may be able to, you know, meet all the expectations on your list, and you like, wow, this is too good to be true, you know. But that's where you go through that stage of the doubt and the, you know, reassurance stage when you are in relationship. But going back to romantic gestures, you know, when two people may buy each other things on, you know, certain holidays such as Christmas, Valentine's, the birthdays, you know, these things are more significant and impactful. Or sometimes people could just, you know, buy or purchase things just because for their partner or whoever they are with, their significant other, when they're in relationship with, just because, just to make the person feel happy, to make the person feel value throughout the year, not just during the holidays, you know. So sometimes it may reach that stage in courtship as far as romantic gestures and going out on vacations and just taking that time to unwind and to really enjoy each other, rather than, you know, engaging in your daily activities and separate lives. Because believe you me, before you even met the person that you're in relationship with, y'all both had separate lives, things that y'all were doing prior before y'all actually got to meet each other and decide to either merge your relationship together and learn how to live with each other, although y'all are living separate lives and agendas. Okay, so then the compatibility stage, a lot of times this is more or less about the reassurance that people get out of the relationship, the security that they get, the type of security they get out of the relationship due to the compatibility factor. A lot of times people use astrology to try to determine how compatible are they with the person and things of that sort. But I think that astrology is partially part of, you know, getting an estimate. Not the actual, but an estimate understanding of how two signs, get along with each other versus you actually doing things together to understand that, okay, how you can engage with that person, you know, how you can determine what you like and dislike with that person. So an estimate, you know, getting an estimate, even your list that you have or expectations you have is just an estimate, you know, of a person who you may desire. But the compatibility factor is just more of a subjective part of getting to know what it is that you like and what you want to be in pursuit of versus the actual when you are with the person and you actually, you know, showing certain behaviorism, mannerisms, and showing how you are compatible with that person just through your actions. And like I said, mannerisms and behavior and things of that sort. So that holds more validity than just the estimate, you know. And sometimes you might realize you may read something on signs and it might says or read that they don't get along. But then you meet this person and you love the person in and out, you know. And it could be a sign that is said that you don't really get along with, but you really get along with the person. And you know how they say opposite attracts. So especially if you are a water sign and you attract the fire sign, you know, that whole element thing can be a little bit combustible, you know, at times. But when you actually get to know the person, it's not about the water or fire sign or whatever the case might be. It's more or less how you relate to each other. And once again, compatibility. Okay, so now that I talked about the courtship and I talked about how going on a series of dates, romantic gestures, and compatibility, I want to talk about the couple stage. Okay, so the couple stage is more of a romantic love and intimacy phase, okay, where y'all got past the series of dates, the romantic gestures, the compatibility factor, that was all a check, 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 and then you realize that you and your significant other have a mutual respect for each other, where y'all respect each other's boundaries. Sometimes it could be your individuality, you know, the things that y'all engage in hobby-wise, and just you as a person while y'all in, you know, that couple stage. You know, the mutual respect is most important, you know, how the person view you know, how they treat you in private and in public is so important, because it should mirror the same, you know, level of aspect, whatever how they treat you in public, it should be the same way how they treat you in private and vice versa. How they treat you in private, they should be able to treat you the same way in public. It shouldn't be in private is one thing and then in public is something totally different. Like they acting like they don't know you. They're not engaged in an intimate relationship or encounter with you. And they can't say because of, you know, privacy. That's more of the person trying to keep you a secret versus them claiming they're trying to keep their relationship private, because nobody that's in an actual exclusive relationship, monogamous relationship, is going to treat someone like they're a secret. They are going to show effort or show the world this is someone who they have a romantic love and interest with. And based off of what y'all share together, that's what's more private. You know, you don't share your whole life on the internet and things of that sort, but that person should be able to treat you the same way how they treat you in they should be able to treat you the same way how they treat you in private. In public, they should be able to treat you the same way in private. And what I also mean by that in public, this also goes where the person is treating you all respectable, showing the world and showing other people that they value you. But then in private, they're showing that they disregard you, they're disrespectful towards you and things of that sort. That's not healthy. Okay? So once again, privacy, the private aspect should match the public and how the person, you know, treats you. There should be some level of consistency. You know, there should be some level of authenticity when it comes down to the romantic love and intimacy. And if it's not authentic, then you need to second guess and reevaluate that relationship and reevaluate the fact that, you know, are you really a couple with this person? Do this person really see you as someone significant in a life of someone of a value? You know, you have to go through that contemplation and ask yourself that, okay? Because then that's not mutual respect, okay? That's just a person, you know, being manipulative and being selective on how they will treat you based off of what you accept as a person. Now, the couple stage also has a chemistry factor where, you know, both parties are romantically fulfilled with each other, and, you know, there's some type of emotional stability and grounding between the two people. And as I said before, when it comes down to the love factor, it can be based off of conditions, you know, where the person, you know, develop chemistry based off of how the person, you know, treats them, you know, based on how they make them feel. And that's where the stimulation of love come about, because of the chemistry. And sometimes it's not real grounding, you know, a grounding point when it comes down to love just being based off conditions. Okay, and then when you're in a couple stage, you're going to always be in constant communication with the person no matter what. That person will always be in communication with you to show that they value you as, you know, their significant other or counterpart who they are with, you know. So the consistency in the communication means that, you know, sometimes they'll send you a text, they'll call you, and it will be on a everyday base. It won't be, you know, someone love bombing you. Or, you know, love bombing is when a person, you know, showing you and showering you with so much love one day and then the next day they just ghost you. So that's what I mean about as far as when you are coupled with somebody, there's no inconsistent communication factor. When a person show inconsistency in a communication, then that shows that they don't value you as much. They don't see you as their counterpart. They don't see you as someone, you know, who they can build a life with when it comes down to relationship factors. So sometimes people get a rude awakening when it comes down to that, when, you know, people, you know, go on dates and then all of a sudden the person just ghosts them, don't say anything or whatever the case might be. That's because that person chose to move along with their life. You know, and even if you went past the courtship stage and you thought that you was in a couple stage with a person, if there's no consistent communication, then you have nothing. You have nada. You know, if you cannot communicate with the person. And that's just my opinion, you know, because I feel that communication is everything. It clears up misunderstanding, miscommunications. When you are able to effectively communicate how you feel, how you're going to manage the relationship and things of that sort. Okay, and then when it comes down to the commitment stage, I love this part, but it's a little bit scary and it's a little bit intense when you get down to the commitment stage, because a lot of people, you know, I know I'm not the only one, but sometimes when you know that you have to commit to someone and then you have to actually go through all of the, you know, the emotion and things of that sort when it comes down to relationships, that commitment factor could be a little bit scary, only because if you are the type of person where you are free spirited or just a free thinker, I would use both analogies, free spirit is free thinker, but I like to use free spirit in particular only because more people can relate to that than free thinking. Okay, because not a lot of people do free thinking. They don't contemplate anything. But free spirited meaning you don't like to feel stifled. You want to be able to feel like you can exit whenever you feel like you want to exit. You know, it's more like commitment is more like a claustrophobic kind of feeling, kind of thing. Like, oh my God, you know, if I commit, that means that, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that. And am I ready for that? And this is why some people get so intense when it comes down to marriage, because it's not something that you could do one day and then the next day you just decide that you don't want to do that. You know, not to say that free-spirited people are that way, but free-spirited people are full of energy. They're full of, you know, surprises and things of that sort. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes people who are like that have to be with someone who's more adventurous. You know, they're not in a boring relationship that's mundane. You know, they have to go out and explore. So sometimes they have to meet someone who's of that same caliber that likes to go out and travel, not to be stationary and be domesticated in, you know, in life. And that's okay if a person is that way. But, you know, when it comes down to my aspect, what makes me a little bit claustrophobic kind of feeling when it comes down to commitment is the fact that when you have to really show your authentic nature, and it's not so much about relating to the person mentally, but when you have to be able to share your emotional aspect, the emotional aspect of the relationship, when you have to be affectionate, you know, where you have to be able to open up, and sometimes that could be a little scary, and especially for me, it could be scary to have to open up to somebody else, you know, and actually be in a relationship where the person taking you serious, you take another person serious, and you know, it's just that things just get a little bit of like, whoo, you have to, you know, wipe your forehead. So I just think that although I say I want to get married in the future, not to go off tangents, it's still kind of like intense, because even though I'm going through the motions as far as, you know, the domestication and understanding that, okay, I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to want to travel and stuff like that. But right now I'm more in the aspect of being domesticated in a way, because I'm more of a homebody. So I'm learning all of the ins and outs of how to prepare myself to be a wife someday. Just the development of coming into my womanhood, you know, learning all of those things. And even though I'm going through that, it's like I don't actually have a counterpart, you know, present to actually when we're mixing and merging. It's like, okay, I know how to relate to myself. I know self-love. I know all of these things. But how do I relate to you now? And how do I show love to you when I'm not accustomed to it? So sometimes that absence and that feeling, that's what makes me feel a little tense, because now it's like I have to take it a top notch, you know. And a lot of times, you know, when I was in relationship with other people, it will get to that point, but then it will also get to a point where, you know, when I feel that I wanted the relationship to be exclusive in a sense, the other person may not want it to be exclusive with me because of the benefits that they were getting from out of the relationship. However, another factor would be is because we never really took each other serious, you know, as I spoke about before, you know, in my past broadcast. But it had a lot to do with me. It had a lot to do with the fact of understanding that it's okay, even though I didn't get the chance to grow up in the home to see how my mother relate to a guy, or I didn't get the chance to see or be raised with a mother and a father, or to understand how a man's supposed to treat a woman and things of that sort, how the woman's supposed to treat a man. It's like I have to learn those things on my own, and it's really scary. It's not, you know, just a walk in the park, you know. And I'm learning, you know. And a part of learning is like understanding that, you know, there's a feminine aspect to me and there's a masculine aspect to me, and I just have to be able to balance out the two, you know. And that's just my opinion, you know. But commitment stage, you know, commitment stage is, you know, merging together in a mutual agreement. This is where relationships get more intense. It gets more of exclusive. And it's like, you gotta be around this person now. This person is gonna be in your space. You you have to actually, you know, get the perks of this person, like the idiosyncrasies of the person. You learn that those things, the ins and outs, getting to the stage where you are able to pass gas or fart in front of a person without ill or feeling, you know, turned off or whatever, that's more of a comfortable stage, and that's the relationship phase, you know? And it's okay. It's okay, right? So the relationship part, when you're able to relate to the person, and I mean on the emotional, mental, and physical level and social aspect, you know, it can make the relationship feel more rewarding more than anything, you know? And then when we get to the intense phase, because it's exclusive, sometimes there may be rules in a relationship that people would be okay with setting. And rules is just, you know, it could be something simple. If you're living together with your significant other and, you know, you have to share a place or space together, one of the things that is a pet peeve for women is when men leave the bathroom toilet seat up. That can be so annoying for a woman, couple, wife, or whomever. So a rule would be, okay, for a man, please, sweetheart, honey, once you use the restroom, please just put the seat down, please. And if you twinkle winkle on the toilet, please wipe the toilet after yourself. Don't just leave your little trinkets on the toilet. And I'm just saying hypothetical, you know? But, but you know, that may be a rule, okay? Another rule could be for a woman who likes to go shopping. The guy tell her, listen, I'm not, I don't, you know, money don't grow on a tree for me, you know, and you're on a budget. Do not go over a certain amount. That may be a rule for the woman. You know, don't, you can only spend $300. The woman might feel like, what can I do with $300? Baby girl, you better work out something. You better, you know, be able to emphasize with that $300 if that's all that he can work with, hypothetically, you know? So that may be a rule, right? So I think you all get the idea what rules is about, right? But then when it comes down to restrictions, I think this is what make people feel cray-cray when it comes down to relationship. Now, some people say that it's not cool for men or women to be friends with their exes. And I kind of feel that, that it may be true to a degree. But then it gets kind of toxic when a person feel that, oh, that guy or that, you know, gal that they with cannot have male friends, or the man cannot have women friends. I just think that that's absurd, okay? But if it's something along the lines of, if you both agree, or if let's say your lady, your woman who you're with, she doesn't feel comfortable with you speaking to an ex or somebody who you shared a fling with or whatever the case might be, as a man, you should be able to respect that and value her in a sense where you don't make her feel insecure. Because once again, relationships is about security. So emotional security at that. So if she feels insecure in any kind of way, it may alter that relationship that you have with that person. Okay, so restrictions, like I said, if that person feels threatened by the other person, you know, it's not that they jealous or whatever the case might be. Once again, it's about emotional security. Then you should respect that person and not speak to that ex, point blank, period. For no reason. It shouldn't be because on the base of business. It shouldn't be off of the base of, oh, this or that. You should just cut that person off and leave them alone completely, if that's how your other partner feel. Now, if that person is just a control freak, possessive, and they saying that you can't have no male friends, period, then that's not, like I said, it's not healthy. It's not, you know, good when, you know, certain types of restrictions like that is, you know, placed on a relationship. Now, restrictions could be, you know, not going out to eat. Like, say, like, if you are with a coworker and, you know, you are working with someone and your significant other or whoever you with, one of the restrictions could be do not go on a date with that person outside of, you know, the paradigm of working hours. You know, if it's business related, that's fine. But you should not be with that person after hours. Now, if that's an agreement that y'all had, that's a restriction that should be respected on both parts. Okay? And a lot of times, okay, when it comes down to, you know, people who have an assistant and they have, they draw an attraction to their assistant or whatever the case might be, sometimes you need to keep that relationship into perspective and let them know that you have a wife, that you have a person who you are with, and let that be a bygone, because then that's trouble. Okay, that's trouble. So respecting that restriction and not indulging in your own personal rendezvous is what's important. Okay, so another restriction could possibly be, you know, a man not, okay, if you with your significant other, your wife, your woman, or your lady, it's not respectable for a man to turn his head and look in admiration of another woman. That's so disrespectful. So disrespectful. Okay. Or another factor could be, you know, when, you know, men are going out with their male friends and they go into a strip club. Maybe sometimes that could be a restriction that, you know, exclusive couples may have, like no going to strip clubs, because that's considered a form of cheating in a way, you know. So these are the type of restrictions that can possibly happen. Just like, for example, if a guy feels threatened by another guy being around his woman or his lady for whatever reason, whether it be for business or for health reasons or whatever the case might be, if they don't want that person, if that man don't want his woman or his lady around that other man for whatever reason, you know, that woman should be able to respect that for that man, towards that man. You know, if he feels some type of way and it has nothing to do with him being possessive or jealous, but he just feel that, you know, that his woman or his lady can be put in a position of vulnerability, then he will restrict that. He will say, listen, I don't feel comfortable with you speaking to this professional person, so don't talk to them or whatever because of this. If they're able to articulate that, then like I said, as a woman, you need to respect that. If your ex tells you, if your man, if he tells you that he doesn't feel comfortable with you talking to your ex, you should be able to respect that. You can't, okay, this should not be no, you being close to that person, you being linked to that person, you working with that person and trying to say that you could separate the two. It shouldn't be that. You know, sometimes in life, you have to make sacrifices, and sometimes it may be little, it may be major. And if it involves an ex, you know, and is a possibility that that ex can ruin your relationship, but you trying to look at, you know, dollar signs of, you know, just making money or whatever the case might be as a woman, then sometimes you can alter a good and healthy relationship that you have with the present person, your man that you're with. And that's not always good. Okay, when you're jeopardizing a relationship because you feel that you could make money or you can get some type of benefit from working with an ex or whatever the case might be. And I'm just generally speaking, you know, so when that's not respected and vice versa for the man to woman, then it can cause the relationship to get a little bit toxic. And that's just my opinion. Okay. And as I said, sometimes with this restriction factor, some people may go to the extremes of losing money, losing a benefit because they are, you know, valuing the security, the emotional security and aspect of the relationship that they have with the other person that they with. And that's fine, because if you feel that you want to save your relationship and you want your relationship to be healthy and you're going to make those type of sacrifices, you know, presently for a greater future, then by all means do that. Because if you know that at the end of the day, that relationship is going to blossom into something better and not bitter, but better, then do that. Know that something greater is going to come along the way by you making that sacrifice to leave that person alone, or sacrificing because you are focusing on the emotional security and factor of a person who you are with. Okay. And then regulations. As any other, you know, occupation or things of that sort, you know, like, you know, rules and regulations. Regulations has a lot to do with, if I give you a hypothetical, if a woman and her man is out and they are having a good time at a lounge or whatever, and if some woman assumes that her man or her husband or whoever that she's with is single, and they all up in his face and all trying to talk to him and flirt with him, regulating would be his woman coming up to shut that down and let the other woman know, listen, he's not single, he's taken, baby girl. You know, sometimes that could be a little regulating, you know, as far as, you know, acceptable regulation, as far as letting another woman know that he's taken. Or sometimes the man could, you know, be a little bit respectable, a gentleman, and just tell the woman, listen, you know, I'm in a relationship or whatever, to alleviate his woman coming along feeling violated and having to regulate whatever is going on. You know, now don't get me wrong, some women could be a little emotional and, you know, could be a little insecure at times, and jealousy might come in and they might read into things a little bit too much. Sometimes that could happen. And if that aspect of the relationship need growth, then y'all both need to be able to talk about that. And a woman should be able to evaluate that and be real and sincere with herself. Be authentic and say, you know what? I do got insecurity issues that I need to work on, because my man may get into relationships, or my husband may get into a relationship with a counterpart, you know, the opposite sex. And I should be able to be mature enough to know that not every person that he, or woman that he come across that's attractive, he wants to be in bed with, you know. So sometimes it takes time for the woman to regulate that in her own mindset, you know, regulate her own insecurities before having to regulate whatever, you know, thing that's going on in the relationship. Another regulation could be on behalf of a man, you know, if he feels, you know, vice versa, if he feels that a man is trying to come on to his woman and he doesn't like that, sometimes him coming in between that and regulating whatever conversation that is going on between the man and the woman, he may be in the right for doing that. Or if he feels that his woman is in danger, you know, somebody's about to do something that's going to hurt or harm his woman, and he come and regulate the situation, you know, by saving her in the day, you know, protecting her, making sure she's okay, she's good, you know, protecting her from any form of danger. That is a form of regulation. You understand? So this is more of a commitment stage. And like I said, it gets a little bit tense, you know, when it comes down to the rules, restrictions, and regulations, and just the relationship in itself. So now that I talked about relationships, I'm going to talk about partnerships. And before I even begin on partnerships, I want to play a little music to simmer out the show, okay? And I am back. So if you're wondering what's that beautiful classical music in the background, that is Kenny G. Kenny G playing a saxophone, and these are some of his greatest hits that he had playing the saxophone. Okay, so that's if you were curious as to what was the music playing in the background. Now, without further ado, let's get back into the show. So for majority of the show, I spoke about relationships. And now I'm going to talk about partnerships. Okay, so according to Wikipedia, a partnership is an arrangement where parties known as business partners agree to cooperate to advance their mutual interests. Or sometimes the partners in partnership may be individuals on a personal business, interest-based organizations, schools, governments, and combinations. Okay, but I wanted to talk more along the lines of it being individuals. Okay, and when it comes down to partnership, it is a little different from relationships. Although you are on a secondary developing a relationship while you are focusing on a partnership, partnership is more geared towards the interest that two people have. Two people or more have. Okay, and sometimes it could be business related. Sometimes it could be on a personal negotiation aspect. And then all about recognition. So business related, once again, it's all about, you know, an organization, you know, you deciding whether you want to be in partnership with someone. And then what type of business related relationship you will have with that person or organization you will presume with that person, such as sometimes those partnerships could be along the line whether it be a general partnership where it's more of a basic along the basic aspect of it, whether it be a limited partnership whereas it's more formal, business entities authorized by, you know, the state and more. Or is it going to be a limited liability partnership when it comes down to running an organization together? So those things are more along the lines of being business related. Now, when it's more along the lines of a personal negotiation between two people, it's what you are doing to work together as a team and to be able to conquer every task and goals that y'all set out to do. And then being able to recognize each other, complimenting each other in that partnership is what's most important. Okay. And then moving along to agreement. Understand that partnership is not about a personal relationship. Okay, partnership is more non-committal. It does not focus on romantic gestures or just the paradigm of a relationship in general. If anything, when I talked about relationships being categorized and classified, it's more work-related than anything. Okay, so that's the underlining aspect that both parties would respect, mutually respect between each, the two people, and understand that you don't mix personal or business with pleasure. Okay, you don't mix the two. Neither do you get emotional about any aspect of the business partnership that you have with the person. There should be no need for each partner being emotional because it's not about emotional support or security when it's about partnership. Okay, it's more or less about you working as a team with that person, setting aside your emotions and understanding that y'all working together as a corporation to achieve the corporation goals, you know, understanding that y'all both are entities and, you know, in a partnership working to achieve a goal together. So this is more of an external aspect when it comes down to partnership versus an internal aspect, which is more along the lines of relationship. Okay, so agreement. understanding that you achieve a mutual goals together, y'all create deadlines, a time frame, and y'all develop goals. And I feel like when you develop a deadline and time frames, that help you to evaluate the progress of the partnership or the goals in which y'all are basically engaging and doing together. Okay. And then when we talk about the financial and mental support, that is all of what it is about when it comes down to having a mutual agreement with the person. One person might be able to financially support, you know, the partnership that you have together, or maybe it could be both parties that's contributing to that partnership. And then it's more of a mental support where sometimes, you know, both parties could be mentoring each other, but it's for the greater good of both of them. So it warrants growth. It has nothing to do with the emotional and physical support whatsoever. Okay, so that's just my opinion. And then understanding that, you know, both parties have their own resources, and resources consist of the person's talent and abilities and things of that sort that y'all both share. Even if you know other people that can be of help to the counterpart, the partner who you are with, you know, then that's good. So the resource, when y'all both can agree on the resources that y'all have together, that's a beautiful thing. Okay. You know how they say it's not who you know, it's what you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. I kind of had that a little backwards. But yeah, that's really important when it comes down to networking. Okay. And then the vision that you have in partnership with the person. I feel like partnership is all about seriousness, yes, but it's more of an enjoyment, happiness, you know, responsibility. You know, when I think of partnership, that's something that's more conducive for me, you know, and for my personality type, being introverted. You know, I feel that when it comes down to the personality factor, I feel that, yeah, sometimes, you know, whether a person is introverted or extroverted or ambivert, you know, that can have an effect whether on a relationship or a partnership. But I feel, you know, when it comes down to me, I feel that partnership is more safe for me because it's non-committal. You don't have to commit to anything. You don't have to relate to anybody. It's more of an external thing, and y'all can agree to disagree on things to get things done, to see things progress. And that's more comforting to me than actually being in a relationship where things get all intense and, you know, all, you know, cray cray. You know, so having the interest, agreement, and vision as far as objective, learning and knowing what the objectives are and your goals, and the subjective, having subjective thinking, you know, as far as being able to focus on one thing at a time and get things done in a timely fashion and manner. Those things are so important. Okay. And the ability to compartmentalize your life, course and journey when it comes down to the partnership with sharing with the person, because there is emergence, and you have to be able to compartmentalize, you know, section off certain things in your life and be able to merge certain aspects that you have with the person, understanding that it's no different from relationship where both people have different responsibilities, but they coming together to still, you know, relate to each other, you know, find dislikes and likes. It's the same thing with partnership, but the only thing is that there is no emotional support, and that, you know, your responsibility is your responsibility, and the other person's responsibility is their responsibility, and it's more of an interdependent partnership when you have with the person. And that's the best way for me to explain it, you know. And then when you both are able to have a constant focus on the bigger picture and add to it, you know, this is what magnifies the vision, you know, especially when you are able to work on pieces to, you know, add to the grand picture of that vision or whatever it is that y'all working together to achieve. Okay. And then the purpose. Okay, everybody want to feel like there's a purpose, and the people who they meet, you know, the goals and, you know, things of that sort. And it's more rewarding when the purpose is classified or defined in a partnership, especially when it comes down to the goals aspect. What are you looking to achieve? What is it that you need me to do, just hypothetically speaking, for you to be better at this? What do I need you to do for me to be better at this? Or what can you share with me that I can share with you so we both can come out winning on the end? Those things are so important to understand, and understand that there is reciprocity going on there. And it's not a reciprocity of emotions. It's a reciprocity of a person being able to work out the business aspect of the connection that they have with their person in partnership. And then it's all about give me a second. And it's about planning and preparation. You always have to plan and prepare in order to be able to understand how you're gonna execute certain goals in the future in your partnership and what y'all looking forward to achieve together. Okay, so those things are really, really, really important. Okay, so now that I talked about defining goals and planning and preparation, I wanted to understand that purpose has a lot to do with understanding each person's abilities, their talents, and role in that partnership as well, and respecting that as well. So that's what's most important as well. So I talked about partnership in its briefity. I talked about how it's developed through interest between two people or more, agreement, their vision together, and the purpose of them being together. Okay. And then according to an article on HuffPost, you know, partners, it says becoming partners is a process. It's a combination of growing as a couple and growing as a human being on your own. It's the reality of true friendship. It's more than fun parts of love. A partner means being there for each other at your worst, when you're sad, sick, frustrated, and heartbroken. So that's what partnership is all about. And if any of you are curious and you say to yourself, oh, I got this itch, is friends with benefits all about being in a partnership? I know y'all like, yes, yes, yay, yes. Friends with benefit is like, it falls in between relationship and partnership. And the only reason why I say it falls in between those two spectrums, only because, you know, it's friends with benefit. So it's like saying relationship, partnership, right? So I say friends when y'all understand there's no, you know, romantic interest or anything. You understand that y'all not together or whatever the case might be. But the benefits is that sometimes y'all may be, you know, sexually engaging each other occasionally. Or at times, you know, you benefit from the person through money or through certain type of resources. And usually 9 times out of 10, those types of relationships are short-lived because there's no purpose with friends with benefits. Okay, it's more of a monetary thing, something that's just temporary, versus you being a partner with someone where it's something more strategic and long-term. Friends with benefits is just limited. It's what you can get from the person, what you can get out of it that's going to fulfill you. So friends with benefits is not, it doesn't have any exclusivity to partnership, you know, because there's no responsibility, there's no goal, there's no vision, there's no purpose in that. And then when I talk about the relationship aspect, it's sometimes friends with benefit could get a little bit tricky because based off of the person's emotions getting involved, you know. And this is why when I talk about partnership, I strictly said that you are not supposed to mix business with pleasure under no conditions. And in relationships, that's what it's all about. Okay? In relationships, it's about exclusivity. And sometimes, you know, people's emotions can be mixed and things can get misconstrued. So those are my thoughts on that. Okay, so if you had that itch with friends with benefit, it's really not the same. And like I said, it falls in between the two, friends with benefit, because some people are okay with the fact that they can separate their emotions from, you know, the longevity of their friendship. And sometimes people just stick with the friendship aspect and work on that and not so much the benefits, because sometimes the benefit turns into usury. So if they value the friendship more than they're focused along the lines of the friendship, and it always, you always get stuck in a friend zone when it comes down to friends with benefits. Always. There's no progressing onto the next level. And that's just my opinion, because sometimes people start out as friends and then they stay together as a couple. Okay? There's no back and forth kind of thing or indecisiveness. And that's just it. So tonight's show is about relationship versus partnerships, and it was a little long because I normally do 30 minutes, but if you like and enjoy my show as much, then you enjoyed it, and I hope that you was able to get some juice, enlightenment on certain aspects when it comes down to relationships and partnerships, and that it helped change your outlook on certain things. So with that being said, you know it's about to come, right? Bye-bye.